Make a same game multi on the NRL with Bluebet and get more bang for your buck. Bluebet, the true blue Aussie bookie. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly. The Rush Hour. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton, and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to a Friday. Thank God it's Friday. Jude Bolton, how you going, old mate?
Really good, Maroon. Just excited for the long weekend. Yeah. It's few and far between.
We are old mates now because we've been working together for a week.
We're tight. We're super tight.
We've even talked about the Swans, which has been...
You're delving into new areas.
Oh, absolutely.
I know you've always had the blinkers on, but I appreciate that.
Now, I'm going to come to the Swans game, into the Chairman's Club with you and watch a game. We've got... So blessed to have a fellow Rabbitoh supporter in there today. One of my all-time favourites, Candace Warner, in for Wendell.
Yeah, it's so good to be back. I was here, obviously, doing some work a few months ago, so it's so nice to come back and just see some familiar faces.
Awesome. Do you know what? I live near Candace, Jude, and everybody says in that area, oh, we love it when Candace is on the radio. Why don't you get her on more?
You're near the palace, are you?
If the lights are on and I get the binoculars.
He lives in the palace.
You can see it from my place.
You've got the binoculars on.
I've got the telescope out.
This is getting a bit creepy.
That's not good.
We love you here. It's great to have
you
on.
I'm really enjoying it. And it's good to be on with you guys.
Yeah. Big game tonight.
Different. Big game tonight. I'm calling it too. I can't wait.
Cowboys and Dragons. And of course, a lot of interest around who's going to replace Xavier Coates, obviously in State of Origin too. So the guys get their chance tonight. Hamazo and also Talagi. So it's going to be interesting.
It's the Rush Hour on Triple M. You know we love a bit of oils here at Triple M. Beds are burning. It's Maroon in for Gus, Jude, and Candace Warner in for Wendell. So it's pretty much a new lineup, but things will be back to normal by Tuesday, one would think. Bear with us. It's time for this.
Whether you're on the train, in the car, or on the buses, it's Gus's Big Sports Quiz. Download the DoorDash app now for 30% off your first four orders. Minimum order value $20. New DoorDash customers only.
Okay, on the phone, 133353. Josh, how is your life going at the moment? Are you looking forward to doing something fun on the weekend, you crazy kid?
Oh, g'day, Maroon. I'm out in Orange, so it's as cold as a mother of Norway.
Fair dinkum. You're out in Orange.
Look out.
Probably stay inside, find some pub somewhere, and enjoy the weekend.
The Knobloss.
Fantastic.
That's the one?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Mm. Well, Josh, this is your how's your all-round sports knowledge, mate?
I reckon I'm not too bad. I've got a good interest in a lot of sports, so not too bad.
Well, you've also got Candace Warner, who does have the answers, and she is your phone a friend. So you can use Candace once during the contest, except for the tiebreaker. So
these look pretty easy today, so I think Josh won't need me.
Oh, wow. That's a big call. Okay. All right. Well, Maroon, you don't have that luxury.
No.
But I'm going to give you an NRL question first up.
Okay.
What minute was the first try scored in this week's State of Origin?
Okay, I know this one because I was there, and it was the Canberra boy, Jack Whiten, and it was the 14th minute and some seconds.
That's impressive, but it is your job. It is your job to know this stuff. So, I'll give you that. That's a little freebie. Righto, Josh, here we go. Who are the only Australian team left in the Super Rugby competition?
That'd be the Brumbies.
Bang. He's on the board. Josh comes straight back at you.
I think Josh has got this.
Yes.
Righto, Maroon, take you into deep water now, like away from NRL.
Out of my comfort zone. Yeah. Righto.
The Socceroos are just one match away from qualifying for the FIFA World Cup. Who do they need to beat to make it?
Oh, God. We had Arnie on the other day.
Come on.
I don't know about... I'm going to say Brazil.
Brazil.
Oh, it's Peru. Wait till I get it out.
It's Peru.
Brazil. Was not Brazil.
No, it's Peru.
I always get those two mixed up.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Josh, who won game 3 of the NBA Finals series between Boston and Golden State? Game 3.
That'd be...
Ooh, he almost pulled the trigger. What are you going to say, Josh?
Yeah. I'm going to phone a friend.
I'm on. I think you were going to say Boston.
There it is. Boston is the right answer. Okay.
So what is it? 2-1?
2-1.
Yes. So I've got to get this one.
You need this one.
Right, okay, yeah.
All right. It's just 47 days until the Commonwealth Games. But what city are they being held in?
I can't even have a clue because I heard something about rural Victoria. Wasn't there?
What?
Or
No.
We've had them at the Goldie.
This is upcoming.
I can't have any sort
shocking
of a clue.
City. No. It's at a shocking city.
Is it?
Oh.
A shocking
city. Oh, it's
danger.
Horrible.
Mm. Come on. You've surely seen the news.
Oh.
This is so head down
focused.
Is it
somewhere in I'll just say this because James Graham. I know James Graham. Liverpool.
No.
It is Birmingham, England. Josh, you have won the $100 DoorDash voucher. Great work, mate, leading into a long weekend.
Well, thanks very much, guys.
Good on you, mate.
Fantastic, mate. Don't get too excited.
Yeah.
Get lifted up a little bit, Joshy. You're right.
I knew Josh had it in him.
He did. Yeah. He did. He was
from the start.
$100 DoorDash voucher, as you said, Jude. Download the DoorDash app now for 30% off your first four orders. Minimum order value is $20 for DoorDash customers only. Up next, we're going to ask you the question, when did your eyesight fail you? It's the Rush Hour at Triple M.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
It's the Rush Hour on Triple M as we head into a long weekend. Of course, plenty of rugby league here on Triple M. And we'll probably mention a couple of times just to keep you up to date that you know that it's double demerit. So do take it easy if you're on those roads. Candice is filling in for Wendell, Jude the regular, and Maroon filling in for Gus.
Mate, something's come across my desk.
Right.
And this is just an incredible story out of Florida. There's always a great story out of Florida.
Yeah, right.
And this guy, Candice, a man survived an alligator attack on the Gulf Coast of Florida after he mistook the 7-foot-long reptile for a dog.
He must have been drunk.
How's your beer goggles with this? The man was on a pathway near the motel and noticed a dark figure moving along the bushes and believed it was just a dog with a long leash. No, that's a big tail, which is why he wasn't hesitant to move out of the way. And that's when the alligator bit into his right leg, holding on and pulling his muscle and tissue from his leg. He attempted to get away at that point and felt the alligator just rip a chunk of muscle or tissue pretty much straight off his leg. However, the victim is expected to make a full recovery. But it got me thinking about how bad's your eyesight?
Yeah.
When did your eyesight fail you that bad that you thought it was just a big dog?
And it's a seven foot
alligator.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. I've got a friend actually who wears contact lenses. And she was, you know, one day, you know, I don't know if you know, but with contact lenses, you put them in these two little containers you mix the liquid in and to clean them and everything. Anyway, she put the wrong liquid in with the wrong eye, ended up
with the wrong one
because you've got to put the left with the, anyway,
yeah.
Put it in where it wasn't supposed to go and the liquid actually burnt her eye and her retina. She had to get rushed to the optometrist and then to the hospital. Now she's actually lost 30%
of her eyes. You're joking.
No, I am not joking. So next time, make sure, if you've got contact lenses, make sure you put the right liquid in and make sure it's not bleach or whatever else or whatever's around because, 30% of her eyesight is now gone.
Maybe that's what happened with the alligator guy.
I think
he's had a bit of beer goggles as well.
Yeah.
But when did your eyesight fail you, Maroon?
Well, I can only think of the obvious one is, you know, when you're starving hungry and you go into a shopping centre, like my local one's East Gardens.
Oh, Easties,
yeah. And it just doesn't have enough variety in the eatery. But, you know, you see that thing and it'll say you get two dishes and rice for $10. And you go, well, that looks all right. That chicken looks all right. And it's always yuck. That's when your eyesight fails you.
Yeah.
When did your eyesight fail you? Go to it. 1-333-53.
Ben, how are you?
Thanks, guys. Loving your show. You should call yourselves a mystery ring-ins.
Benchwarmers.
Benchwarmers. When did your eyesight fail you, Ben?
To set the scene, we're in a vineyard in South Australia, myself and my girlfriend at the time, now my wife.
Yep.
Practical joke. She said, Dale, try these grapes. They're just beautiful. Took a bite and it tasted quite bitter. It was very bitter. It was a raw olive.
How bad were your eyes that you thought?
It was acid. It was like acid. It shredded all the enamel off my teeth. Mm. I spat it out, and she was rolling about just peeling herself. I was beside myself trying to just clean my teeth. It was awful.
How are the teeth now?
The grapes.
Oh, they're fine. Dad's a dentist, thank God.
Yeah.
Very good. That's handy.
I think you sound a bit soft there, Benny boy, so I'll let you go. I mean, it's only an olive instead of a grape.
Exactly. You know. Exactly.
Okay.
What about Fred in Bradbury? How are you, Fred?
Yeah, good, Jude. Yourself?
Very well. Welcome to the Rush Hour. When did your eyesight fail you?
I was in the army for a while and went to go to dinner one night. We were running late and on the board menu board, they said they had chicken snitties.
Yeah.
So we're all keen. We get in there, go to grab a chicken snitty, start hoeing into it, thinking, oh, this is pretty good. And then the cook came out and asked us how the brains were.
Oh! Yeah, we used to eat those when I was a kid, lamb's brains.
Oh, lamb's fried. Oh, yeah.
Surely you could distinguish between brains and snits.
Well, unless they flattened the brain right out.
Yeah.
Oh. And like it was the brain out of a cow or something. It'd be pretty big.
Feel a bit queasy.
Better than like a cow's...
Yes.
Stomach lining.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
What about Steve in Beacon Hill? How are you, Steve?
Yeah, good. Going very well.
When did your eyesight fail you?
Yeah, it was actually up in Derby County in the north of England there, watching an English soccer game. Went to the bar, went and bought four or five beers, whatever you can buy over there in a tray. And I'm looking out into the ground and I can see the team in white, well, put in inverted commas, that I thought we were cheering for. And I went back to the away area to realise I got the teams wrong. I'm cheering for the away side and I've thrown beer in the air all over the away supporters who were all looking at me thinking our team didn't score.
Oh my
so I got the
goodness.
Team completely wrong who scored the goal, and my personal safety was in a bit of trouble there.
Yeah, how's the reception from the terraces when you're doing that?
Mm. Yeah, well, I was pretty lucky to have a good English mate with a sense of humour, and he said, oh, yeah, check out the dumb Aussie who doesn't know what the away jersey is.
Yeah, well, I think that on the back of that, that's not your eyes failing you, mate. I think you might need some sort of rehab.
But like the old Minties ad. Do you remember the old Minties ad when the guy celebrated and it was in the wrong area?
Wrong area, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Those Specsavers ads are good too, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they're good. Yeah. I like those.
It's the Rush Hour on Triple M. Maroon in for Gus, Jude and Candace Warner in for Wendell. So it's a bit of a patchy. It's like a State of Origin lineup, right? It's like
exactly. One in, one out. Yeah. Okay, we're on. We're next person up.
Absolutely.
Let's go.
First off the bench.
That's it. Next person up. Yep. That's the attitude we've got to have.
Exactly.
Hey, guys, the big talking point in sport at the moment is obviously this Rebel Golf tournament that centres around Saudi-backed money. You're not pleased with the whole thing, Jude. But these guys, these big-name golfers are getting like a couple of hundred mil to endorse it, to be part of it.
It's crazy money.
Okay, let's go to a man who would know more about it, editor-in-chief of the Australian Golf Digest. His name is Brad Clifton, and he's on the line. G'day, Brad.
G'day, guys. How we been?
Fantastic, hello, mate. Well, I suppose it does have the potential to really do some damage to golf as we know it.
Yeah, look, it's a defining 24 hours for the sport, to be honest. We're breaking away from the traditional mould and... Greg being Greg, he's pretty ruthless. He's persevered, and a lot of people didn't think we were going to get to this stage not that long ago. And all of a sudden, a couple of big names have made the switch. We're talking serious coin, as you alluded to. The source of that coin is obviously the big sticking point. But I tell you what, it's going to be a very interesting couple of days.
It sure is. Brad, we've seen Rocket Mortgage has ended its sponsorship with Bryson DeChambeau. We've also seen RBC pull out with Dustin Johnson. Do you think... we'll see any of the equipment sponsors, you know, pull their gear from the players as well?
Look, it's quite possible, but, I mean, these guys are actually leading towards being free agents anyway now, where they just go and pick and choose what they want to use because they're making so much money in other ways that that endorsement that they're getting from the traditional equipment companies really fades into insignificance.
Brad, we've had it in World Series cricket. We've had it in the Super League and in the NRL as well. I mean... how do you think, I guess, the players will be, I guess, their reputations by the end of this? What do you think the final outcome will be?
It's an interesting comparison, I think, to World Series cricket and Super League, because I remember a very similar reaction to that in the early stages. And then over time, it sort of, you know, faded away a bit and just became the norm. I'm not too sure whether it'll be the same here, but I just feel like, I mean, this is going to go to court and... you know, it's going to come down to what is the true definition of an independent contractor when that's applied to professional golf. And the PGA Tour forcefully believe that, you know, that you've got to pick one, not the other. You're not allowed to do this. Whereas Greg and his team are saying, no, we're free agents. We're entitled to play where we want and where we want. So my gut feeling is that, I mean, the players who've committed are obviously, they're banking on the fact that they're still going to be allowed to play the four majors. Anyone who knows professional golf knows that a career is defined. Your legacy is defined by how many majors you win. At this point in time, the four majors, which aren't managed by the PGA Tour, they have no say in it. They haven't made a decision one way or the other on whether they're going to allow the live players to come back and play the majors or not. So I think there's a lot of players right now just sitting back. They've probably had the big offers. They're just going to sit back and just see it play out and make sure that they're not going to jeopardise their major career as opposed to going over there and just taking the coin.
And how do you think that will play out? Do you think the majors will take the side of the PGA? Because at the moment we do know that the PGA is putting some serious pressure on the majors, but how do you see that playing out?
My gut feeling's telling me we're not going to see anything this year. I just feel like we're too close to obviously the British Open in particular, the Open Championship. That one's a tricky one in itself because by definition, it's open. They've built their whole reputation around this is a tournament open to everyone. The qualifying process to get in it is, you know, you can see guys that you've never heard of qualify, have an absolute tremendous week and make the Open Championship. It's such a grand event. So I feel like we're a little bit too close for them to make a massive decision like this, but I've got no question in the next sort of 12 months that they're all going to be thinking long and hard about how they address this because, I mean, let's not forget there's some high-profile players making the switch already and it's in the majors' best interest to have these players for eyeballs as well. So it's just such a fascinating couple of days ahead of us. It's really defining the professional sport of golf.
Speaking of majors, the US Women's Open, we had an Australian champion, Minji Lee. Incredible win over there in the US, wasn't it?
Absolute superstar, Minji. With the recent retirement of Ash Barty, I reckon there's a fair argument to say that she's our number one athlete right now. I mean, she doesn't get the back page headlines that she should. We've had a long debate about that in the golf industry. We try and push our case that golf should be on the back page a lot more. I think it will find itself on the back page this week for other reasons, but Minji Lee is just an absolute superstar. She's at the top of her game. I spoke to Kari Webb, obviously our legendary figure in women's golf. She firmly believes Minji's well on her way to chasing her record of seven majors. Wow. So let's wait and see.
Now, lastly, our very own Candace Warner's played golf today and she's a member at New South Wales. Wales, which is just obviously you're from the Australian Golf Digest. It ranks right up in the top 100. But she chose to play at Royal Botany over New South Wales with her mum and dad. What are your thoughts on that, Brad?
I love hearing stories like that. It's going back to the grassroots. We're not
absolutely, it is.
Exactly right. We don't need to play top 100 courses every day. No. Not every day.
Golf's all about inclusion and you know, mum and dad are just learning, so.
That's good.
100%. 100%. Look, and look, all seriousness, I think golf is just in a really good spot right now. We've got all these people playing it on the back of the pandemic. We want to be seen as that inclusive sport, and I think we've taken great steps for that. So hearing stories like that, that's fantastic. Get down to your local golf club and give it a go, guys.
In 325 games and two premierships for the Sydney Swans, Jude Bolton learned how to do two things really well: tackle people and get hit in the head really hard.
It's Bolton again.
Let's do one of those now. This is Jude Tackles.
All right, so Jude Tackles, it's a segment where what you just get something off your chest.
A bit of a rant. Something that's just, you know, caught my attention during the week. And well, you know what has me riled up, Maroon and Candace? It's our mate Gus Wallen.
Right.
And that mystery hernia in Orange.
Hang on, he always supports you and you're just going to go the hernia route.
Well, talk about piss week.
Wow.
Poor Maroon has had to step in as skipper and he's done a stellar job, might I add.
Have another week off if you want, mate.
But Gus, tell me how you managed to get a hernia when you never lift a finger at home or in here, and you've grown up with a silver spoon in your mouth. I mean, we're well aware that Del is from the school of hard knocks. I'm probably from the school of head knocks. And yep, Gussie, you're that school prefect from Knox. But when you're wrapped up in cotton wool 24/7, dressed for comfort in your Crocs, I can tell you that it wouldn't have been that big a change to slip into the hospital gown and start requesting sponge baths from the nurses. But apparently, team, when the hernia located just below his belly button did occur, it looked like an alien emerging from his stomach. Think of that scene in Total Recall when Arnie's character Quaid learns that Quado is a Mars mutant, conjoined to his brother growing out of George's stomach. Let's have a listen.
You're Quado, right?
Wrong.
Actually, cut that. It just sounds like audio of Gus watching Tedesco highlights.
Oh,
actually, now that's hardening up. Now,
no!
That's just what you need to do, Walland. Enough of the hernia or heartstring. And just as Arnie in Total Recall asked Cohagen to give them back the air, we want to have you back on the air as soon as possible, brother. Bolton out.
It's the Rush Hour on Triple M. Our NRL preview is next.
Gus, Jude and Wendell, this is the Triple M Rush Hour. The Rush Hour. the Rush Hours NRL Preview. Thanks to DoorDash, official delivery partner of the NRL.
Yes, indeed. So, look, you both love your rugby league, Candice and Jude. I think this is a pretty easy round to pick, really.
Yeah,
you look
not,
at it.
There's not many deviations from the favourites, really.
No,
here.
I don't think so, mate. Cowboys up there against the Dragons.
Cowboys, absolutely.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, you'd have to say the Cowboys.
They've been in stunning form this year.
Yeah.
Who would have thought, at the start of the season, who would have thought that they would have been, you know, up there for the minor premiers,
been
really?
Phenomenal. Yeah. Been phenomenal.
And now there's a little bit of chit-chat that the Tigers were going to have a crack at Toddy Payton. There's no way the Cowboys are going to let Toddy Payton go.
Surely.
No.
Surely. He's got them exactly where they want him. And you think of that friction when he first came there and he was pulling Tamalolo out and you know, calling him out and saying he needs to give us more. So, no, they've been terrific.
We're all agreeing on the Cowboys there. Yeah.
Definitely.
Now, Titans take on the Rabbitohs. This is the Titans, the absolute pinnacle of their whole history is they won 5 games in a row at the end of 2020 versus the Rabbitohs, who've won 21 premierships, if you're asking.
Yes.
We're in amongst Rabbitohs.
You have to. I mean, the Titans have been dreadful.
Yeah.
They've shown no resilience. They're shocking in every aspect of the game, to be quite frank. And I think the Rabbitohs are going to be too strong.
And they've lost 8 of their last 9, the Titans. Mm. So maybe poor old Justin Holbrook, he might be the next coach in a year when a lot of coaches are being shown the door. SCG, the Roosters take on the Melbourne Storm there. Well, I suppose with this one, it's a little bit of who does and who doesn't come back from Origin.
Yeah, well, it looks like Harry Grant and Munster. Tedesco will be back, hopefully, and Tupou and Lindsay Collins. So I think as much as it pains me, I'm going to tip the Storm, I think.
I think the Storm. And you know, the Roosters are the only team that in the draw that they play the top 4 sides twice and the bottom 4 sides only once. So the Roosters have it pretty tough.
Really?
Yes.
Mm. Well, it's about time they got something tough.
Absolutely.
Oh, here we go.
Uncle Nick can't change that one.
Yeah, exactly. Broncos Raiders. Broncos have won 6 straight. And for this game, we see the great Adam Reynolds return and Ezra Mamm. So he's the guy that filled in for Adam and Adam. They're both in the side. So all of a sudden, the Broncos have got options.
And Raiders were good over the Roosters last week. So, but I'm tipping the Broncos this one.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm going to go a bit of an upset. I think the Raiders can do it. They've been really convincing lately. They've been playing some really good footy. And I just think that they're going to be too good for the Broncos.
Mm. Now, Tigers, of course, lost their coach who he's one of the great humans, Michael Madge McGuire.
Great fellow,
yeah. Probably listening to us now on the back patio having a beer.
And Brett Camoli steps into the hot seat, though.
Another great human.
So, it'd be interesting to see. Will they have that little bounce when you get a new coach in there? And apparently Brett Camoli's just sort of given them the, you know, don't worry about the past. It's all looking forward now and let's see what you can produce. But I'm tipping the Seagulls here.
Yeah, I think the Seagulls. And what's interesting, though, is Tigers, it's their membership round. So after everything that they've gone through, you know, probably not the best week to be having membership round. But, you know, we're all going to miss Madge.
Mm, absolutely. Love Madge. And best of luck, too, for Noddy. But I think for the supporters, you know, like everyone's club goes through an awful period. And as a supporter, you just got to pay your membership and keep going. That's all you can
do. Stick at it. Absolutely.
That's all you can do. So
Knights and Panthers.
Yeah, Knights and Panthers. Well, we saw what Panthers did last week with 6 out.
Yeah, I think, tipping them easily.
Panthers.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Warriors, Sharks. Well, we know the Warriors never, you know, in the face of adversity, they never react positively.
Mm-mm.
They've lost their coach too. I think the Sharks might beat them by 60.
Plenty. Yeah, I'm on the Sharks.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm on the Sharks.
Final one, Monday afternoon, Doggies Eels at Accor Stadium. This was the great rivalry of the 80s, not so much now.
Yeah, not so much now. I'm going to tip the Eels here.
Mm. Yeah, you have to go the Eels. Bulldogs last week, they sort of played a little bit better. We saw Adokar, you know, really trying to put a statement game in. So I'm expecting a little bit more from the Bulldogs this week, especially with another Origin game coming up and hopefully the Blues pick the Fox for the game two. I think they need him.
It's Wendell's. What's on the menu? Menu Log has what you want when you want it.
Did somebody say Menu Log?
133353 if you want to win $1,000 to spend on Menu Log. Call us now. Move over Katy Perry. The Rush Hour is going to have their own crack at making an iconic menu log order. So we're going to list three different menu log orders. You need to call in to correctly match the orders to the corresponding rush hour host to win $1,000 to spend on menu log. So Candace will order something. I will order something. Jude will order something. All right, Jude, what are the orders?
So let's look at the menu log orders. Okay. The first one is butter chicken on rice and some naan bread.
Mm-hmm.
Second one is pork and prawn dumplings.
Nice.
And the third order from menu log is beef and black bean.
Right.
Ooh, so both, all of those, I'm getting a bit hungry right now.
Well, it's hard to say what you'd like without giving some sort of a clue away, isn't it?
Exactly right. It's up to our listeners to dial in. We've got Adam.
Yeah. Adam, go for your life, mate. You know what you've got to do. You've got to match up the meal with the host that wanted it.
Do you want the three orders again, Adam, or not?
Might as well, mate.
Okay, butter chicken on rice and naan bread, and then there's beef and black bean and pork and prawn dumplings. So three dishes. Who are they for?
Candace butter chicken.
Okay, yep.
Beef and black bean to Jude.
Okay. And what's the last one? Of course, pork and prawn. Bang.
Yeah.
Up. Are you allowed to say if he got any right?
No, move on. We've got plenty of callers. Let's go.
I'm ruthless today.
Hey, yeah. We're giving $1,000 away from Menu Log. Let's do it. Andrew in Riverwood. Let's go, mate. Yeah, very well. Which are the orders?
All right. I'll go Jude with the butter chicken.
Okay.
I'll go Candace with the pork.
Mm-hmm.
And Maroon with the beef.
Bad luck, Andrew. Missed out. Next one. Let's go. Steve in Oran Park.
G'day. How are you?
Good. You well? Welcome to Rush Hour. What are the orders from Menu Log, mate?
All right. I know Maroon's going to like the black bean. He loves his Chinese.
Yeah. Correct.
What are the other two?
There's pork and prawn dumplings, and there's butter chicken on rice and naan bread.
All right. Naan bread will go to Candace.
Yeah.
And the other one will go to Jude.
Oh! You've won, Steve. Congratulations. You've won $1,000 to spend on Menu Log. And we're going to have another $1,000 to give away next week, Maroon. Fantastic work, Steve. What a start to the weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Good on you, mate.
Well done.
Order it all in one night. You know why he knows I like Chinese? Because I told the NRL listeners, you'll appreciate this, Candace. When I was a kid, if Souths win, we had Chinese.
How good.
So we love our Chinese. It's the Rush Hour on Triple M. Still to come, before I go any further, Menu Log has what you want, when you want it. Did somebody say?
Menu Log.
Beautiful. Triple M's Rush Hour. Candace in for the great Wendell Saylor. Jude here as normal. Maroon in for Gussie. It's Friday. It's into a logging weekend. I hope you've got a big one planned. Gee, I tell you what though, Jude. Just for anyone who doesn't know the story, you got your chicken, Ariana, to pick the winner of the Origin game by way of putting a blue bowl and a maroon bowl.
And sadly, she went over and picked Queensland.
So now everyone's blaming.
Apologise to the state. I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
And she only gets one chance.
She got it right.
She got it right, though.
Which upset our colleagues on The Breakfast Show.
MG, Jess and Pagey. Yeah. Pagey's basically blaming and the whole Origin result. So
they did get into the whole thing about why it has that name, Ariana.
Yeah.
Mm. Absolutely. Why?
Well, it's named after Ariane Titmus. And I've got other chickens. I've got six chickens. One's called Chris Hemsworth. Named after Chris Hemsworth. Another one's called Chewbacca or Chewy.
Yeah.
Yep.
So there's a couple of them.
Could you name one after Candace?
Well, I think we might find one.
Okay.
I think that's would be a great way to honour Candace Warner. Let's get you a chicken. And
I don't need any more chickens. I can assure you.
All right. Like, well, The Breakfast Show took this on board, and MG, Jess and Pagey, and did this thing about what did you name your pet after?
And my daughter named our boxer after Freddie Mercury. She's a mad Queen fan, and the breeder of the dog was at the Queen concert.
So I got a little Jack Russell with a little wolf, and so we thought we'd name it Chopper, as in Mark Chopper Reed.
After David Bowie's character, Ziggy. Ziggy von Striddle the Poodle.
We were puppy sitting because I have four children, so said I wasn't ever going to get a dog. My son decided to name the dog we were puppy sitting Kevin because he'd been watching Home Alone, and we ended up keeping the dog.
Kevin.
Well, Kevin.
I've got a great what did you name your pet after?
Tell us, what are you?
We've got these two cats at home, right? And we just kind of came across these cats.
They stray.
They were, I don't know, yeah, where they come from, but we took them and got them needles and got them registered and whatnot. But they're just mad. You know, you can't pat them or anything. They're burko. They just come for dinner and then they'll sleep on the couch and get in the shed at night. And then Wendell Saylor was staying at our place one night and he, you know what a busybody he is. He's like, what are your cats' names? I said, oh, they don't really have names, you know, like.
Kitty,
yeah. Never really thought about it. So he goes, well, they should have names. So he comes to work the next day, announces on the radio that Maroon and his wife, Christine, have two cats that don't have names. So he said, you know what? Wendell and Tara. So the cats are named Wendell and Tara.
You've got a cat
stuck.
Named Wendell.
It's stuck. I've got a cat named Wendell
and Tara.
And a cat named Tara. Yeah.
Isn't that no wonder it's Tara. A crazy cat, though.
Yep.
So we have to say to the neighbours, can you feed Wendell and Tara? We're going away for the weekend.
Aren't they two girl cats, though?
They are, but who cares?
No, it doesn't.
You know? Yeah. All right, 133353. Let's go to it. What did you name your pet after?
Murray, welcome to the Rush Hour.
How are you, champions?
Not too bad. What did you name your pet after?
We named our little Jack Russell after the volleyball in the Tom Hanks movie Castaway.
Oh, the Wilson.
So his name is Wilson. The logic being, if you're at the park or the beach and the little bugger runs away from us, you yell at the top of your lungs, Wilson, come back, Wilson.
Very good, Mo.
He doesn't get it, but we do.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant. We'll go to Hayley and Roselle. How are you, Hayley?
Hey, guys, I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. Who did you name your pet after?
I named my cat after Rafael Nadal. His name is Rafael Nameow.
Very good. Very good, Rafa.
Thanks, Hayley. What about you, Cass, in Glenmore Park?
Hey, how you going?
Not too bad, Cass. Who'd you name your pet after?
Well, I didn't. My 7-year-old daughter at the time did. She was a mad Flash fan, and she named him Sol Hudson. So he's called Hudson because that's actually Slash's name.
The original name. Nice. His actual name.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. So Hudson.
Yeah, why not just Slash?
Slash. Mm. That's a great animal's name. All right, we'll go to Jason in the Blue Mountains. All right, Jace.
Hey, yeah, mate.
Not too bad.
I must have been a Flintstones fan when I was growing up. I had two cats called Pebbles and Bam Bam.
Right.
Really? I like that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Do you remember Fred Flintstone's boss? What was his name?
Oh, Mr. Someone.
Yeah. Who was it?
Mr. Slate.
Mr.
Slate, yeah. I used to love the Flintstones.
They were good.
I had a bit of a thing for Betty.
Betty.
Yeah.
Did you? Was it the bone in her hair?
I don't know. It might have been because she had a short sort of flowy skirt and I've got a thing for that.
Oh, okay.
Not on me, but on Betty. You know,
on your wife. Yeah,
okay. That sort of thing. Yeah.
All right. Dean in Sydney. Yeah. Dean, how are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good.
Welcome to the Rush Hour. Who'd you name your pet after?
I've got a French bulldog and I named him after the great Shane Warne. His name is Warney.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's nice. I like
that. How long have you had Warney for?
He's now 15 weeks. We picked him up about 7 weeks ago, yeah.
Oh, so similar.
So you named him after?
Similar. Wow. Yeah, straight after. Straight after.
That's lovely.
We got him the week after the he died, yeah.
It's still amazing.
It is, mate, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So awful.
Go on, Chris. Chris in Penshurst.
Hello, guys. How good's a long weekend Friday, eh?
It's exciting, mate. Yeah, well. So who'd you name your pet after?
So about 11, 12 years ago, we went and adopted a little kitten from the RSPCA, and we were a bit unsure what to name him. But at the time, the biggest video that was doing the rounds on YouTube was some animal. I don't even know what it was, like a gerbil or something. And he's in his field, and he's calling out, Alan! Alan!
Oh, this
Alan.
One.
Oh,
Alan!
It's like a meerkat or a gerbil, yeah.
Alan. Yeah, something like that. Yes. So, yeah, my missus and I, we took a look at him and just started cacking ourselves laughing, going, Alan, at this little kitten, and the name just stuck.
You've got a cat named Alan.
Beautiful, Chris.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Driving home with three voices in your head. Gus, Jude and Wendell, the Triple M Rush Hour. The Rush
Hour. Probably the prettiest man in rugby league, certainly from New South Wales part of it all, the great Ryan Girdler. Hello, Girds.
Hello, Maroon. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very well, Girds.
Fantastic.
Mate, how'd you go this week? It's been a bloody tough week with New South Wales going down. We had Dell, who's unbearable after it as well.
unbearable.
I haven't
anyway.
Left the house, Bolts.
Yeah.
I haven't. It's been, it's always tough, especially, you know, losing at home and then knowing how hard it is now to come back and sort of try and get the series. Take a little bit of confidence out of the fact that, you know, we won the series last year with three games played up north. So hopefully we can, on the back of what was a pretty disappointing performance, hopefully we can dust ourselves off and learn a little bit. I think the main thing I took out of that game the other night is the fact that, you know, we were probably a little bit underprepared in certain areas. The game was definitely refereed differently over the last couple of years when we've had a lot of success. The game, I thought, has been refereed at NRL level. And I thought the other night on Wednesday it was more of an origin affair where there was maybe rules that were overlooked that haven't been in the past that have allowed New South Wales to play a little bit, you know, more quickly and more like at club level with those combinations. And I mentioned to you the other day, Jude, like if, you know, New South Wales had to go out there and be clinical and you had to break Queensland down over a period, but if it turned into sort of an uncompromising, scrappy affair, it probably suited Queensland more, and that's kind of exactly what happened. You know, Munster, Ponga, those guys, they just like, you know, one or two opportunities that they can sort of grab hold of, and they get it done. Then they'll defend their way to the victory as they did the other night without letting sort of New South Wales just find their rhythm, and yeah, they did it well.
Yeah.
Gerd, you talk about Munster. How is New South Wales going to contain him in the next match? I mean, he was playing at another level.
Yeah, he's in great form, Candice, isn't he? Like at club level. And, yeah, look, he's just a unique guy. And he's just a guy, he's going to get his hands on the football. But all you can really do is try and, as a team, play your style. And New South Wales' style is much more controlled, has much more rhythm than what they showed the other day. Kicking into the corners, making Queensland come out of their own end. Like, I've never seen Nathan... I mean, the thing about Nathan Cleary over the last couple of years, like his worst games are seven and he's usually playing at eights and nines. Yeah. And I've never seen him miss kick footballs the way he did the other night. And then I was thinking about why it might have happened. And he plays on a really, you know, with a really good Penrith side over the last couple of years that dominate every week, right? So he's always kicking off the front foot. And I think, you know, because Queensland forward was so dominant the other day and controlling the ruck so well, you know, he's got to spend a bit more time concentrating on or understanding how he's going to play off the back foot, because Origin is all about, you know, playing off the back foot and not playing with momentum. And the really good halves at Origin level are the ones that can, the Thurstons and the Johnses, the Langers, are the ones that can just sort of drag their teams off the canvas with a kicking game, even when, you know, they're not winning the momentum battle in the middle. So I think Nathan will learn a lot from that. And I think New South Wales and the coaching staff will definitely learn a lot about how they approach certain areas in game two.
Okay, mate. Good on you, Gerds. We'll catch up with you for the call tonight from 7. It's the Rush Hour on Triple M. That's it for today's podcast. For more of the show, you can catch us live on the radio Tuesday from 4 p.m. on Triple M.